Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first ever WDRC version of Real Estate Radio. I'm your host, Byron Lazine, with my co-hosts here, Heidi DeRusso and Nicole White, all of us from Wind Company at William Ravis Real Estate. We could have rotating co-hosts on the show unless you guys are willing to commit for the rest of things like Real Estate Radio on the sister station of Full Power Radio over at 94.9, which has been going for 4 years. Are you guys ready to make a 4-year commitment right now to this show?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Look at that. Look at that. So now we officially have your hosts forever and always forever. Here on WDRC. And
where do I sign?
No, we're pretty pumped here. We're pretty pumped here. We've been doing Real Estate Radio, like I said, over on the other Full Power station, 94.9. And what we talk about on this show is Connecticut, our economy, obviously the real estate market. That's what we're experts in. What we don't talk about is politics. We may get into something that a community leader or a politician did or said that goes back to impacting the market. Or our entrepreneurs or something like that. We don't get into the left and the right. We stay focused on what we know, which is your economy here in Connecticut and how that impacts the real estate market. So we're going to have a lot of fun on this show. We give away a whole bunch of Martin's money. We'll even give some away here on the first show. So stay tuned for that. Martin McKinney, of course, is our sponsor over at Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. But here for the first show, I think it's only right that we dig into this crazy real estate market that we are living in, that you've heard about. If you know anybody that sold their house, they've told you, oh my gosh, I got so many offers. I've got so much interest. I've got so many showings. What's happened? What happened in 2020 in terms of how many sales, what that did to prices, and what that is doing right now to homes available to purchase? We're going to dig into all of that throughout this show. Heidi, Nicole, are you guys ready?
We're ready. Sure are. Let's go.
Are you guys feeling it? Look, I mean, they seem to feeling be excited about today's show.
Thrilled.
All right. So 2020, crazy year. In fact, it was the most sales Connecticut has ever seen on the Connecticut. This is according to the Connecticut MLS. Everything that we talk about today is going to be from the Smart MLS, which is the Connecticut MLS. It really encompasses every single town outside of Greenwich because they have their own super secret MLS. But every other town, I think what else, Nicole? Darien is the other. There's like two. No, New Canaan. New Canaan.
There's
has
a few
other,
of them down there. Yeah.
Super secret MLS. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have to share, but everybody else is on the Connecticut MLS. Even some of those sales leak into our MLS. But anyways, this is 99% of the sales happening. And in 2020, if we look at the rolling 12 months, so the last 12 months to today, sitting at the most sales ever in the history of our real estate market here in Connecticut. That's over 53,000 sales in our rolling 12 months, the last 12 months. That's 18.3% increase, by the way, from the previous rolling 12 months. For us to peak out, we would have to go back to 2005. The rolling 12 then was somewhere just shy of 53,000. So we are back to that level of sales. I think it was September 2005, it actually peaked out. We're back to those levels and beyond. And I think this will continue. Heidi, your take, is it going to continue at this level here over the next 12 months?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know. And I say that just because we had so many sales last year, like it was just nonstop once, like I would say May hit. And now like our inventory is at an all-time low. And I just think the sales will only continue if sellers feel more confident in putting their house on the market and their next move, which I'm not sure they're there yet.
Yeah, what's the biggest concern that we're hearing right when people do have interest in selling? What are they saying next? What's the questions?
They're saying, where do I go next? And like, I can't answer that for them. So I have a couple sellers now who luckily were able to purchase a house before they put their house on the market. I had another girl who found a rental first. So that was smart. She's going to go into a rental, then sit tight, and then make her next move. And then there's people like my parents' generation who are debating if they want to just leave Connecticut altogether. And I think that decision is taking them a little bit longer to make than the person who just wants to upsize or downgrade.
How long have your parents been debating leaving the state? Has this been something they've been thinking about for a long time?
I would say like 10 years they've been talking about it. And now it's becoming like more of a reality for them.
Yeah. Boomers or?
My stepfather's a boomer. Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people in this state, homeowners, have been thinking about potentially following the migration pattern in recent years, where migration pattern for Connecticut has been, we've been losing population due to moves out of the state. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been thinking about it and actually saying, well, geez, I wish I could get the value out of my home. We're going to talk here in a little bit what these sales have done to values. And you can, if you're paying attention, you know, it's been a good thing. Now is a time to capitalize. You've got the most sales, you've got high demand, you've got low inventory. Obviously, classic supply and demand means that prices are on the rise and people can now capture that volume. In terms of popularity during this, you know, obviously going back to last year, we saw an influx of people from New York and millennials wanting out of their apartment and all these things that drove the market crazy because COVID, single family homes, you know, we gave that stat here at the top of the show about we have seen the most sales ever in our last 12 months. Well, single family homes is also at the peak that we've ever seen for most sales. And it is by far breaking the record of the 2005 timeframe, where it was just under 40,000 homes in a rolling 12. The peak was like September 2005. If we look at January 2021, we're at 43,000 single family homes. Nicole, single family versus condo. Are we going to start to see more people shift towards condo this year, or is single family still where everybody wants to be?
Well, I think we're going to have to shift to condos, mostly because of affordability. Obviously, with the prices going up, entry level is no longer that, you know, maybe 2-3 bedroom, like, you know, 900 square foot ranch, especially because we are talking about these baby boomers. Not everybody wants to leave the state. So, you know, those that are able to capitalize on their home, maybe their family home or larger home that they no longer need anymore, they're going to be gobbling up those entry-level homes that are sort of, you know, those ranches that you typically see. So I 100% see a rise in condos. I'll be honest, I think that the largest rise will be because the value is back. Condos have been scraping out of the ditch for value. So again, I think the condo prices will be going up. So people that have been sort of upside down in their condos, this is their year to maximize. So again, I do think that we're going to see a rise in the condos for sure.
All right, when we come back, we're going to tell you exactly what this demand has done to prices. When we come back, you're listening to Real Estate Radio, WDRC, the talk of Connecticut.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those.
Real Estate Radio, Byron Lazine, Heidi DeRusso, and Nicole White of One and Company at William Ravis Real Estate. We're talking about what is of this crazy real estate market. Home prices are up next. We talked about the most sales ever in the last 12 months, the rolling 12 that we've ever seen, according to the Connecticut MLS. What has that done to home values over the last 12 months? If you are a Connecticut homeowner, certainly single family homeowner, you do not want pull over right now. Actually, if you're driving, pull over, stop the car and start taking notes. I think you're going to be very happy with what we have to say. So not only was it a record past 12 months in total sales, but we've experienced a record home values. Median and average. So let's start with all sales. So this would encompass single family condos, mobile manufactured homes, everything in the MLS, land, everything all clumped into one. And in terms of our sales price, we are up for the entire MLS, the entire state of Connecticut, up over 14% on our rolling 12-month average, or median price, that is. And we're at $285,000. The peak was back in 2007 into 2008. Remember, like, everything fell apart in 2008, but the prices stuck for like 6 or 7 months before they really started to decline. So 2007, it was 275. We're now at 285. Homeowners, you have your value back. Nicole,
I have my value back.
You have your value back. But you've also been selling real estate for over a decade here in Connecticut. How many times have you heard people say, I just want to get my value back from 05, 06, 07?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the amount of homeowners that, again, have probably owned their homes maybe even 10, 15, 20 years prior to 2005, right? 2000, that whole bubble that we call it. They saw their prices go through the roof. They didn't sell because they didn't need to, nor did they want to. And then they started to drop. So most homeowners already feel like they've lost money because they, you know, they saw where their prices were and how high they could have been. So yeah, I mean, again, I think that if most people right now, like you're talking about your parents, like if you're looking to take advantage of another time, this is the time.
This is the first time in like 10 years for sure.
Yeah. So it's, again, I mean, the prices are back where everybody thought that they lost from. It's been very interesting to watch because, again, in the Connecticut market, we call it a healthy market, right? Byron, like we talk about like 2-4%. People are always all complaining that, you know, their values only increase these small increments, but we think that's healthy. We think that's great.
Right.
So again, like this last year being at 14%, it's been very interesting and probably scary for some because everyone talks about the bubble, you know, lots of people live during the bubble.
And if we go to just single family homes, it's 15%. And this is the entire state. Like, do we want to break down a couple counties? Because some of the particular counties are even higher and some of the towns are even higher.
Right.
Like, let's do New Haven County, for example. New Haven County. So New Haven County is only up on rolling 12%. So New Haven County is not above the 15%. What else do we want to do? We want to do Hartford County. Let's do Hartford. Hartford's up almost 11% as mm-hmm. well. And this is single family homes. If we go to all properties for Hartford County, what's the next county? Middlesex, all property types is 11.5. Single family homes, just under 10. What do we want to do next?
New London.
Well, New London, I think, a big jump. 12.5%. Okay.
So I don't know. I'm still thinking Fairfield's probably the largest, especially with the city folk that were fleeing. It was sort of the next county to that.
Right. That makes sense.
It's up at the top.
Fairfield County, 20.5%.
Yeah.
For all property types, 20% for single family homes. Huge jump,
huge,
Fairfield County. And yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think
we had a great benefit along the shoreline.
Well, right. So like you're saying, the benefit along the shoreline where we are, we're always typically a second home. Right. So I do think that people were purchasing second homes, but I do still think that as much as people were fleeing from New York, they still knew realistically that they were going to have to commute in there at least maybe once a week, twice a week, or mm-hmm. again in the very near future. So Fairfield County, I still think made sense.
That's 25%.
Yeah.
Litchfield County, but 25%.
But let's be honest though, those two counties were struggling a year ago. You know, they were losing so many major corporations in those counties where it was really hard for anybody to sell. And if they were selling it for so much less. So again, I think there's two pieces moving there.
That's very true. Like there was McMansions just a and Fairfield were not selling.
There was just a Wall Street Journal article that said Bridgeport is up 40% in their home values. And when we have the MLS open right here, and it's 20%, it's 22%. I had to recently, Nicole. We talked about this. This is a new article. Well, this is a new one now. So we talked about the Mansion Global, which is through Wall Street Journal, and they reference these Redfin stats. This is why you want to always be talking to somebody that actually works your local market, that's educated in what's happening, that has access to the MLS, because they're using Redfin, and Redfin is calling Bridgeport like the towns surrounding it. Like Fairfield is included and all these towns that are like also doing really good. And they referenced in the Wall Street Journal, this is just a week ago, that Bridgeport is up 40%. So again, just like happened a couple months ago in that Mansion Global article, I'm getting people texting me. I have somebody from one of my friends lives in Manhattan. He's like, did you see this? Bridgeport's up 40%. I'm like, no. Wall Street Journal is lazy. They don't know what they're doing. They're just going on Redfin.com, collecting data. It's like some college intern or something.
Well, good for him, though, for calling you and bringing it to your attention. I mean, obviously, he wanted to know what the scoop was. Yeah.
And he's like, why didn't, I mean, 40%, you know, I mean, I guess if you bought GameStop and sold it, if you could have made 40%, but it's tough to do. It's tough to get 40% in a year.
Right.
But, that's gambling. We're talking about the real stuff here. So, but Bridgeport is doing good, 22%.
Right. Well, I think what people need to realize, I mean, in my mind, it would almost be virtually impossible to get up to 40%. I mean, talk about, unless everybody was buying cash, how do you even appraise that stuff? Like there's not even enough things to justify a purchase unless it's cash.
Yeah. I think that's the issue, appraisals. That's kind of what's slowing, I think, some of the towns down too, is because I've definitely been getting a lot of appraisals that are coming in lower, because I think some of the banks are getting nervous about the home values jumping too much as well.
Now, the entire MLS average prices, so median and average, obviously two different measures, the average prices are up 21.8%. The average in the entire MLS for Connecticut, get ready for this number, is $407,000. $407,000. That's the average price for the rolling 12 months as of January 2021, up almost 22%. Crazy. And if we go to single families, that jumps up to 450,000 and up over 22% of an increase in the rolling 12. So you think Fairfield County and Litchfield bring a little bit of weight there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think it's also important to note, though, too, that even along the shore where, you know, we predominantly do our business, homes along the water have been selling, obviously, a lot higher and a lot quicker than they have in the past too. So no, I think there's multiple variables there, but definitely Fairfield County and even Litchfield is probably helping that.
And we can run through the counties here quickly on the average price. If you want to do that, let's see where Fairfield came in for their average sale price, $800,000, 22.8% for single-family homes. Hey, you think we got to push one in company into Fairfield County or what?
I mean, I think it's time. Why not?
Why not?
These numbers are pretty good.
Well, absolutely.
One in company.
But what I would love to see here, but as much as that 800,000 is great, I'd love to see the units. Can we compare that to units? Because it'll be interesting. Again, you kind of have to, we have to look at
total sales.
Yeah. We're
staying in Fairfield County. Total sales is up 35% in Fairfield County. And in the last 12 months, they've seen 11,453 sales. This is just single family, by the way. Right. So if we go to all property types would change that number, obviously, because it adds in condos and everything. But 11,500 for single family homes last 12 months is a huge number. Obviously, 35% increase. That's a huge jump. By the way, if you're not familiar with One in Company at William Ravis Real Estate, our team, we primarily focus New Middlesex, even New London County along the shore, but we work anywhere. I mean, I think we closed deals in all counties in last year, including some Rhode Island counties. Yeah, so we're working all of these counties. If you go to all property types for Fairfield, almost 15,000 sales, so a couple hundred shy of 15,000, and over 30% increase in total sales, so units, yeah. Yeah, what would be the next?
Well, compare it to New Haven, because New Haven would be right next to it.
Mm-hmm. New Haven had a 14% increase, and that's 11,500 sales.
Fewer units,
and fewer units, but only by so New Haven County, they had like, what, 14,000? We're at 11,500 there.
Yeah,
okay, mm-hmm. Not too bad. Let's see what Litchfield did, and then we'll go to Hartford. Litchfield, not a lot of units there. Nice price point, but only 3,600 sales. 30% increase though. Hartford, all about here on the units. 13% increase in sales and 12,300. So we're getting the bulk of the units from Hartford, New Haven, and Fairfield, obviously. Middlesex, small county, only 3,000 sales, Middlesex County, but a 21% increase.
But still up, yeah.
And New London County, almost 15% increase and only 4,200 sales. So, yeah. All right. There you go. It's definitely impacted sales, this craze over the last 12 months. It's impacted prices. We talked about that. But what has it done to our inventory? When we come back, we're going to tell you if we are in a record low inventory market, that means homes for sale. And we're also going to give away some of Martin's money. Stay tuned for that. You don't want to miss it. Real Estate Radio, WDRC, the talk of Connecticut. Real Estate Radio, Byron Lazine, One & Company at William Ravis Real Estate. Heidi DeRusso and Nicole White joining me here, also from One & Company at William Ravis. We're going to give away some of Martin's money. We do this, if you're familiar with Real Estate Radio over on 94.9, we do this every single week. The boys and girls over at Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist, they buy a bunch of gift cards to our local restaurants, and then we give them to you. If you can answer the following question, all right? So pull over, if you're driving, get your fingers ready. You're going to want to email your answer to radio at re3media.com. That is radio at re3media.com. That's the numeral three. So radio at re3media.com. You're going to want to answer in January 2021. Okay. And so the first gift card we ever give away here on WDRC is going to be a 50-50 chance. And the first person to answer the correct question gets the gift card to a local restaurant. January 2021 for single family homes. Is that the lowest amount of homes we've had for sale dating all the way back to 2003 on the Connecticut MLS when they started accumulating this data? Obviously, it won't be the lowest ever because you go to like 1910, there might have been like four homes for sale or something like that. But in the last 20 or so years, was January 2021 with the lowest homes for sale, single family homes in the entire state of Connecticut? Subject line, put homes for sale, and then yes or no. Yes or no. Was January the lowest amount of homes for sale in the business, we call it inventory. You know, little
in the business
secret word.
In the that's just in
the
this
business.
Just in this business, I'm certain it's most businesses.
How corny was
all
that?
A lot of corny. Yeah,
a lot of cornball right there. But you can get a gift card to a local restaurant, courtesy of Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist, by just emailing in yes or no to radio at aria. .com. Was January the lowest single family month? First one that answers gets a gift card.
Does that mean we can't answer it now?
I
feel like we can't.
No, we're going to give the answer because
I was going to say, how do we not? I mean, that this whole segment was supposed to be on inventory. Well,
oh, yeah. How's that?
We're going to give the answer. Before somebody responds, obviously, we will cover the previous months. Okay. So let's just go all the way back to 2003. which is obviously the run up until the mortgage crisis, right? So a lot of people were buying real estate back then. Real estate was, you know, a huge, you know, buzzword, and everybody was into it, right? So January 2003, there was 9,500 homes for sale on the market. This is single family, state of Connecticut. So only 9,500 homes in that time frame. We go to January 2004, you had 9,500 as well. Go to January 2005, you had over 10,000. And then because there were so many people buying homes, so many, it was so easy to get a mortgage.
It was so easy to get a mortgage. Easy to get a mortgage.
Is that when you got a mortgage?
That's when I got a mortgage. I didn't even have a job and they gave me a mortgage.
Right out of college.
You get a mortgage.
Right out of college. They just, yeah, I think I was making $300 a week. My husband was in grad school and they were like, yeah, we'll sell you a condo. So we're like, all right. I think our mortgage payment too was like $200 because we did like that interest only crap. Oh yeah. Oh, it was amazing. God. Yeah. That was 2005. We just got married.
And then prices exploded. So obviously more homes came onto the market. So I have only 10,000 single family homes available. But in 06, 1 year later, there was over 16,600 single family homes available in Connecticut. The prices explode. People saw the opportunity. And we're not going to experience the low inventory that we're at right now forever, because people will seize this moment, especially the smart homeowners here in Connecticut that have been thinking about it. If you go to January 2007, over 21,000 homes available in January. If you go to September 2006, it was over 25,000. So then going into, let's go to 2008, 21,000 for January. It peaked out in 2008 at over 25,000 again. Go to January 2009, over 20,000. 2009, obviously things started to fall down. We're at 24,000 in the peak in June. 2010, 19,000. And this trend continues for 10 years, where in January, we're about 20,000, 19,000, 18,000 homes available every January. And then it peaks out to 25,000. Well, as our market started to improve slowly but surely in say, let's say 2010, in January, we only had 15,400 homes available January 2017, but still way above that 2003 timeframe where we had 10,000 homes, right? Mm-hmm. And then we'd peak out in 2017 at 20,000. And then we started to kind of bounce from the winter, 14, 15,000, where people are, you know, listing their homes less, and then peaking out at about 19,000. Same thing for 2019, we're down to 13,000. Well, in January 2020, it got to its lowest point since going all the way back to 03, 04, only 12,500 homes available. So it's like, all right, the market is improving. There are a lot more buyers. There's more transactions happening. We were expecting in January 2020 a great real estate market. We weren't expecting what happened in March and for the market to completely go crazy that quickly, but we were expecting a good market for sure. Now, when we go to January 2021, and this is just shocking. January 2021, 7,000 single family homes available in Connecticut.
It's almost half. It's almost half.
Yeah.
It's almost half of last year.
It's almost
nearly half. Yeah. And I think what's very important for people to understand, because everyone is like, am I going to miss this opportunity? If I wait until June, am I going to miss the opportunity? Do I need to list right now? Am I going to miss the opportunity? Mm-hmm. I think what you need to realize is to recover from this is going to take months for inventory to bounce back. So there's no missed opportunity. Is now a better time, because obviously people are buying and there's fewer less inventory, which obviously drives up demand. Yes. But I also am confident that this year is going to continue to be this way, because it's just going to take so darn long to get back. We could even look, Byron, like throughout the year. I mean, inventory has still, even in the last year, even though so many sales are happening, we're talking about the most sales ever have happened, but still inventory has still been the lowest in the last, we're talking what, 10, over 10 years, 15 years. So mm-hmm. again, I don't think that there's a missed opportunity, but I definitely think that this is the year to seize that opportunity to get the most bang for your buck. And maybe it's not even the most bang, but maybe it's just the best offer because right. you're not waiting for that one offer to come
exactly.
right now.
You're not desperate with that one offer saying, like, right. well, this is all that we have.
Absolutely.
We don't have any power to negotiate with these buyers.
Right.
As a seller now, you're getting 7 to 10 offers and right. you're weeding out the best offer for
absolutely.
You.
And it's sometimes the best offer isn't always
the highest.
Exactly. But, you know, are people waiving inspections?
Are they flexible on closing?
Well, so that's super important for people to realize too, because mm-hmm. everyone's worried about where they're going. Sellers right now have the ability to be like, you know what? You're going to have to sit and wait for me to find something. Yes. And buyers are 100% probably willing to do that.
I have buyers right now who were closing on a house and they're going to rent the home back to the seller until she finds her next place.
Yes.
Yeah. That way she has the equity to go purchase something else.
Right.
Attorneys don't love it. But in this scenario, it worked out for everybody.
Yeah, it's a seller's market for sure. So anyway.
Yeah, and it's very difficult. We talked about at the top of the show for someone to get comfortable with the idea of selling because where am I going to go next? If I'm not leaving the state, I'm faced with only 7,000 options. I'm also faced with the highest sale prices in the history of Connecticut. We've gotten all the value back. Mm-hmm. In most cases, correct. Obviously certain neighborhoods or whatever,
right.
but when we're just talking about Connecticut as a whole, single family homes, we've gotten all the value back from 04, 05, 06 and beyond. And it's continuing to go up month over month throughout this year. The rolling 12 keeps going up.
I do think though that if you are going to be a consumer, a home buyer in this market, you definitely need to educate yourself though too, because even mm-hmm. though the prices are high, money is so darn cheap
right.
that you're still, if you can look at your cost, your monthly cost, what can you afford? Your affordability is so much larger. So again, don't be so scared about necessarily the purchase price and concentrate a little bit more on what your affordability is. What can you afford each month? What does
right.
a $600,000 sale right now is probably almost maybe equivalent to a $500,000 sale, you know, less than a year or 2 years ago.
And also rents that are supposed to just keep going up. So would you rather continue paying rent to somebody else getting wealthy, or would you rather pay to like your own personal wealth?
Absolutely. Right. And you know what? I forgot to mention it earlier, guys. If you're driving around in Madison, just because there's only 20 minutes left, I have to throw this in before we go to break. 612 Durham Road in Madison. Casey's over there till 2 o'clock on an open house. And Nicole is actually at 66 High Street, right? Until
right now. Yep.
2 o'clock right now.
I'm here.
So go see her till 2 o'clock or Casey over at 612 Durham Road for the open houses. And when we come back, we're going to give you the One Ant Company rewind of the week. We'll give away a little bit more of Martin's money when we come back. You're listening to Real Estate Radio, WDRC, the talk of Connecticut. Work it, make it, do it, makes us harder, better, faster, stronger. Real Estate Radio, this is the time we're going to do the One & Company rewind of the week, the last 7 days for One & Company at William Ravis Real Estate. If you want us, by the way, whether you're an agent yourself, a for sale by owner, if you want us to promote your listings at this time next week on the show, we're happy to do it. We're happy to help out. You're listening to radio at re3media.com, radio at re3media.com. Just email your open house or your listing, whatever the case may be. We're happy to read it off here on Real Estate Radio. But for One & Company at William Ravis Real Estate, this is our rewind for the week, the last 7 days. We had one new listing, 63 Long Hill Road in Guilford. That was on for $750,000. And oh, by the way, we can't give the sale price, but there was how many offers?
Multiple offers, and it went well above the list price. What's interesting here too is that this family actually just bought it last year, I think for maybe at least $20,000 under what it's listed at. And the fact that it went above, it's great for them. Super fun.
Yeah. There's money to be made in this market if you own real estate for sure. And if you have real estate questions, and at the end of the show, we'll tell you how to reach out to everybody here on the show. But if you're a homeowner and you've got any questions about the value of your home right now, oneantcompany.com. You can go over there and ask any questions that you have. Under contracts for this week, One Ant Company, we had under contracts in Meriden, Avon, West Haven, Hamden, East Haven, and Essex. So that was the One Ant Company at William Ravis Rewind of the Week. Again, if you've got any real estate to promote, we're happy to help you out. Spread the love. Email your listing or open house or coming soon listing, whatever it may be, over to radio@re3media.com. Homeowners, and we've been talking about it the whole show here. I've never seen anything like it. The market's never seen anything like it. Your values are officially back here in Connecticut for the first time since 2005, 6, and 7, the era that every homeowner talks about. Oh, if I just sold in 2007, I would have had X. You can likely get X for your home right now.
Right now.
And if you're thinking about, yeah, if you're thinking about moving in 3 years, you may want to consider selling, renting for a little bit, because we've seen these cycles before, and it took 15 years almost, literally, for this market to come back. Literally. We're in 2021. Literally. I mean, yep. The end of 2007, 2008 is when the buyers disappeared. The buyers disappeared by the end of 2007. So the prices were still up, but they're lagging, right? Because it takes a little bit of time for them to really start dropping. And in 2008, they fell right off of the cliff, and all the way, you know, going down to, you know, late 2009, it just was month after month after month, rapidly dropping. You know, we went from 2000 sitting there in, I'm talking median sale prices for single family homes in Connecticut. The beginning of 2008, we were over 300,000, over 310,000 in the beginning of 2000. And then by the time September of 2009 hit, we were down to 250,000. That's on a rolling 12. If we go monthly, it gets scary here. If we go in the monthly number, so mid 2008, we were at 310,000. March of 2009, the average for that month, the median sale price, rather, single family homes, was $229,000. I mean, that's how quickly it happens.
That's when I bought my first
house. So it's a great moment in time right now. March 2009?
Mm-hmm. That's when we bought our
first It's better
one.
To be lucky than good, Heidi.
Well, it went down even more in 2012, but I think that was mostly you were starting to see a lot of foreclosures. I remember I was an agent in 2012. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a lot more difficult to sell homes then too, but there was a lot of crappy homes on the market, a lot of short sales, a lot of foreclosures.
Were you seeing
a lot of just
what? Like, were you seeing sellers that had like bring money to the table to sell?
All the time, yeah. All the time. It was horrible. I mean, you literally needed to know, like walking into a listing appointment, like how upside down they were, what they buy for, what was the situation, how can you help them? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times you were telling them almost not to list because it was tough. I remember 2012. 2012, the market definitely dipped. But again, it was saturated with just messy short sales. Those things took years at that point too.
2012 is the year I started selling real estate, and obviously 2010, 2011 were so bad. And 2012 was, I mean, those 3 years were one of the worst markets if you were trying to sell your home in Connecticut. So like everybody tried talking me out of it. It's like, it's the worst market. Nothing sells. You know, there's no buyers out there, blah, blah, blah. There was a bunch of people just complaining. I mean, I'm looking in the MLS. I can look in the MLS right now and tell you sales in 2000 we had. Let's go to rolling 12 months. I mean, yeah, it was at the bottom. But listen, in January of 2012, there were still 21,500 sales in the rolling 12. Far different than the 42,000 that we're experiencing right now. So, you know, half of the market, half of the sales, half of the buyers, however you want to look at that, went away in 2012.
And half of the agents went away too.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
All that
yeah.
means is half of the agents didn't have any homes to sell. That's your part-timers. And listen, if you're listening to the show right now and you're a part-timer in real estate, I don't mean to offend you, but there's really no place in this industry for part-timers, for people trying it out, for people doing it on the side. There's not one homeowner listening right now that if they had the education of who they're working with, would work with a part-timer. Because I can guarantee you there's not one homeowner listening right now that if they needed to have surgery would go and say to the doctor like, oh, how often do you do this? And the doctor says, well, I do it once in a while on the weekends. They would say, oh, let me sign up right now. This is the homeowner's biggest asset in most cases, not all the times, but in most cases, your home is your biggest asset.
Right. Well, I think
put that in a hands of a part-timer.
Absolutely. And even though the market is doing really well, you still need a trained professional to help you guide it, absolutely, to make sure that you're getting as many offers as possible, but also to make sure that there's somebody on your side to guide you through it. And also to pick the right, you know, the right buyer for it. Cause deals are falling apart still now. And so
relationships matter in this business, like broker to broker relationships really matter when the deals are falling apart. And if you have a part-timer who just hasn't done that many deals, they don't have the credibility with the listing agent.
And they don't have the patience and time to, I feel like when you deal with a part-timer, you know, when their attention is split, like they're not totally there working through the deal with you. And yes, they want to get everyone to a closing, but they're just not 100% present.
We've laughed a number of times within our team where we're seeing things go up in this market and they're selling because basically everything is selling right now, but they're leaving so much money on the table for the homeowner because they didn't do professional photography. They decided, oh, well, this is going to sell no matter what as the listing agent. I'm going to skimp on the marketing costs. I'm not going to do aerial photos. I'm not going to do a video. I'm not going to do floor plans. I'm just going to take photos with my iPhone, slap this pig on the MLS, and I know it's going to sell. No. You're leaving tens of thousands of dollars on the table when you lack presentation, when you don't appeal to the majority of the market. That's how you lose money in today's market. Obviously, your home will sell, but wouldn't you want an extra $30,000?
Well, I think that's true for FSBOs too. I think that, and what a FSBO is, a for sale by owner. So many, again, because they're seeing how hot this market is, individuals are thinking that they can save the money by doing it themselves. But what they're losing, like you're saying, is tens of thousands of dollars most of the time because they're just not entering a market and getting as many eyeballs on their property as possible, but also probably losing a lot of money during like an inspection process too, you know, because they don't know the rights, the wrong, what's normal, what's not. And they're spending even more money, you know, during that time too. So definitely, I agree. Consult someone here. That's a professional.
All right. I promised a little bit of Martin's money. Okay. So the first person that can eat into radio at re3media.com, first person to email into radio at re3media.com with what service station equipment does in the residential space. I mentioned it a couple times on the show. They are our sponsor, Service Station Equipment. What do they do in the residential homeowner space? First one to email that answer, you can Google it, by the way. So the quickest Googler out there. You're going to get a gift card to a local restaurant. All right. Good show. Good first show on WDRC. We're happy over here. And again, we've done radio for a number of years over on 94.9, a full power radio sister station. You can go check out any of our past shows at CT Real Estate Radio, wherever you listen to podcasts. Hopefully you'll come check us out at oneincompany.com if you have any questions, and certainly on Facebook, follow the page there. You can check out our Saturday show, which always streams live on Facebook at 11 a.m. over on that. Nicole and Heidi, if people want to connect with you guys directly, because you were such an amazing co-host and you've committed to this show for the rest of your lives, where can people find you?
Instagram. Whispering. You can find me at Heidi.DeRusso. And you can always email me at Heidi@oneandcompany.com.
I'm Nicole White Realtor on Instagram. And if you want to call, text Nicole, my phone number is 203-430-5926.
All right. We'd love to answer any of your questions. If you're a homeowner and company.com, O-N-E-A-N-D company.com, or you can also find Heidi and Nicole first names at oneannie.com. Real Estate Radio will be back here next Sunday and every Sunday. Appreciate everybody tuning in. I'm Byron Lazine for Heidi DeRusso, Nicole White, and everyone at One & Company. We are signing out. You're listening to WDRC, the talk of Connecticut.